Staying alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Now, we've been joined on the phone by Zane Wedding from Save Our Trees, who's been part of the, I guess, is it an occupation of the trees on Canal Road in Avondale? Is that
yep,
right, mate?
That's right.
You say an occupation?
Yeah, that's right. We call it a kaitiaki movement, but you can call it an occupation for sure. We've been holding that land for over 250 days now.
Were you up? Have you been up the trees at all? How big are the trees?
Yep. So, unfortunately, the trees are on the ground now. I lived in the trees for months.
Wow.
And then after I have been trespassed and taken away by the police the first time, then there was always more than just me there, but an occupation continued, like living in trees for 245 days. We had lived in trees at Canal Road.
What was that like?
Oh, it was definitely an experience. You know, the most of the time I spent there was in winter. But I tell you what, the ruru sung me to sleep every night, and then the tui woke me up every morning. It was a beautiful experience to have in the middle of, like, urban Auckland. So in that way, it was a blessing, because that's something we're losing in this city all too fast.
What do you need to survive up a tree?
This is the typical question. So you obviously need a bucket. You obviously need water, battery chargers, like phone chargers is like a must-have. Not too much food, because otherwise then you need the bucket too much.
Okay.
But yeah, water and battery chargers for your phone. The good thing about being out there is I didn't really need too much. We had like an amazing community of people that were coming there constantly, feeding me, feeding the other climbers that were there, and just ensuring that our stay was as comfortable as possible. We had erected into these trees permanent stays, so we could have lived in those trees forever.
Now, so what sort of happened at Canal Road was it was a private property which was sold on to another private developer, and the what was unique about the site was the number of well-established, large mature trees, which are becoming less and less common throughout Auckland as a lot of the protections against mature trees were removed a few years ago. What are you guys... Obviously, you wanted to save the trees in this instance, but what sort of work is Save Our Trees doing at the moment to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future?
Okay, so I can almost guarantee that this will happen in the future unless something changes. And Canal Road wasn't just a stand of native trees. It was a stand of remarkable, rare species. The diversity there was second to none, from here to Cape Kianga. There was the last Māori of its kind, the last black Māori in Tāmaki Makaurau. From here to Cape Leanga, you will not find another one, and that was cut down. The largest kawaka, these trees are barely found from here to Cape Leanga. You can find them a bit further south, but not in Tāmaki Makaurau. We were protecting that tree. There was a mātai there. There was a tawa that was one of the biggest in Auckland, a tituki that was the tallest in Auckland. We're talking about a rare, exceptional stand of trees that an entire community and beyond wanted to protect. Because these trees, and I've been an arborist working with trees in Tāmaki Makaurau for 20 years.
Right. How ironic, like, that you're an arborist. I mean, obviously, that's so interesting.
Yeah, that's what people think. Yeah. So, you know, a stand of trees like that prior to 2012 could not be touched without a qualified arborist and getting a consent, and you could not, it was unthinkable to remove that stand of trees prior to 2012. And this is the backward logic of 2020 governments. They removed those protections, and now all of a sudden some of the rarest trees in Auckland, mature, beautiful trees, become a victim of just the amazing land prices in Auckland. So a developer picked up this land and was like, okay, well, it's worth so much with the trees on it, and it's worth exponentially more with the trees off it.
Right.
And so the trees were cut down.
That was going to be my question. Like, where were the trees? They're obviously, it makes it sound like they're along the side of the road, but they're not. They're on like a big bit of land. Was it somebody actually living on the land, or was it like a?
It was just basically a bare patch of land that
people
had
could go and muck around in.
100%, and most people within this community had been interacting with their trees their entire lives.
Right,
talking about 100-year-old trees. So for the community, it was already like a little arboretum.
Actually, to be honest.
What's that?
Maybe been around since their parents' lives.
100%. And, you know, the owners of that property, they had interacted with other members of, like, the community within those trees for decades. Families that had generations of growing up together and growing in those trees, you know, they came to loggerheads over the situation because, believe it or not, people actually care about mature rākau in Tamaki Makaurau. And the government, Phil Goff especially, and the government we have, they don't care about what we care about, the fact that rākau, you know, like Tamaki Makaurau has lost one-third of its green canopy since John Key took away these protections.
Has anybody done the math on how long that would take for it to grow back? Because that's the thing that we don't realise, how long it takes for these things to fucking grow, you know? Like, it's crazy.
100%. And I keep saying this, but it speaks volumes about our community, like our society, by allowing 100-year-old rākau to exist. You know, it says a lot about us to have a tree that's 100 years old in an urban space. We're willing to kind of appreciate its beauty. It is a living thing, and we understand that we have to allow that to continue to be there. That says a lot about our society when we look at these things this way, but we don't. 100-year-old trees, the last maere of its kind. And for those people who don't know, a maere in Te Ao Māori, that is the tree that holds up when Tāne Mahuta separated Papatūānuku and Ranginui, he placed maere at the crotch of Ranginui to hold up the sky. That was the last one in Tamaki Makaurau. Not only is it a grand living thing, it holds mātauranga Māori. Those things need to be protected. I teach arboriculture. I can no longer take my students to that tree to show them the last one of its kind.
Damn, man.
It's important. And the only people who can help us here are Phil Goff, unwilling, and then we have David Parker and Jacinda Ardern. And they just don't care.
Did they weigh in on the situation at all? Did you have any correspondence?
I think they try to stay away from it, eh? Probably.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And, you know, like, oh, my God.
Use people to shield them and shit. Probably process to shield them, eh?
So the narrative that they create, and I've heard Phil Goff on the radio before address it a couple of times, one of the things that he said, oh, it's private land, we couldn't interact there. Well, actually, the council got the opportunity to buy those trees a few years ago, and they refused to. And there were deals on the table that we had struck up through Manawaka, and the council just didn't come to the party. So there has been they have been unwilling to help.
And just on that, like, readers sent us a message saying you've put forward about 500 trees for protection, and the council are sort of refusing to engage. Is that the case?
So not us. These trees have been nominated. So there's the one form of protection that is left in Auckland is called scheduling. The grandest of our trees in Auckland are scheduled, and that is a form of protection, but it is a high bar to get over to become a scheduled tree.
Yeah.
There are 500, over 500 trees that are sitting there waiting to be scheduled. We have willing owners. The owners nominate them. They say, hey, look, I want my tree to remain here for generations beyond my life. We have owners that we've met that are in their 60s. They've been waiting 16 years for the council to approve the scheduling of this tree. They are fearful that they're going to pass away and then the tree will go, but they want this tree to be here. They're willing to pay the cost for the scheduling, and the council still refused to do it. So you just can't let Phil Goff get away with the things that he says. Oh, you know, I love trees too. We don't have a way to protect them. There are 587 trees sitting out there that could be protected by the Auckland City Council. They say they don't have the money. We say be creative. Find a way to have the money. Crowdsource. There are people willing to pay for it. One of the trees in particular is the rarest tree of its kind in New Zealand. There's only like 30 of them in the wild. There's one in the North Shore. They're refusing to schedule it. The owner of it, it's a southern rata. It's beautiful. The owner of it would pay for the scheduling himself. We've met with this person. The council refused to do it.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
And then on top of that, you've got Canal Road where there's these trees that are just remarkable. And David Parker, he refuses to put any kind of protections on these trees that are incredibly rare, old, immaculate. It's amazing to me.
What's the way forward? Can there be a change in legislation or local government sort of laws around mature trees?
Do you see people, like, more and more people giving a shit about this? Like, you know, not council people, but normal people? Because it seems to be the case.
100%. Yeah. The just the simple fact that I'm talking to you on BFM is it shows me how many more people are falling into this kaupapa. Mm. There is not a person in Auckland City who hasn't sat at their coffee table, looked out their window at a tui flying in the tree next door, and now that tree is gone. That's how it is in Auckland at the moment. There is a way to change all this. We could, and the new changes to the RMA have left a window for tree protection to be inserted. But whether there is a willingness to do this is up to David Parker. And
everybody emailed David Parker. Is that's
100%.
Yeah.
You know, there are petitions going around. We need to be putting as much pressure on, because look, 2012. The changes happened. By 2020, one third of Auckland's tree canopy was gone. I'm not just talking about mature trees, I'm talking about all trees.
Yeah, developers aren't fucking around, eh?
Yeah, so like if we don't make the changes happen as quickly as the changes happened the first time, so if we don't put it back to the way it was as quickly as they went away, you will see that people will just go mass slaughter. People will be like, oh, they're changing it back so trees are protected. I need to remove them all now. Mm. And it is going to be a Lorax occasion where we're all standing around the last tree. No, we like mature trees in this city. And just so people know, the whole way that I connected with the environment, climate, was through Ngarako. Like, I love trees. Trees are a connection that I want tamariki to grow up, see that tui, see the kereru flying between the mātai and the pūriri and the kauri, and connect with nature.
That,
and that is one way that we can kind of stave off climate change, is by fundamentally changing the way that we think about how we coexist with nature. Mm. And that falls on the government. Mm. They need to set that North Star and say, hey, look, we're not going to undermine SEAs, significant ecological areas, because of the housing crisis. We're not going to remove large mature trees because of the housing crisis. We will commit to coexisting. And then everyone will get on board. But until we have that kind of leadership that will get people to do that, we're lost. And we're going to see clean green New Zealand turn into grey New Zealand. And I don't want that.
Yeah, no. A city with a... There's a blend there. There's a level where you can have a bit of concrete and a bit of trees, and I feel like we are being really hasty with what we're cutting down. 100%, Zane, you're right.
And the one thing that you have to understand is when we compare ourselves to other cities like Melbourne and Singapore, they actually do it right. And we want to be like those cities. They do density right. They let trees remain there, but they build up, you know, and they don't commit to so much urban sprawl. You look at the tree protection system that somewhere like Singapore has, millions and millions more people, way less area, but more trees.
Oh, I tell you what, that's a great example. It's beautiful there, for sure.
It's the Garden City for a reason, because they protect their trees, and especially their mature trees, and we could take a leaf out of their book.
Yeah,
it's density done well, it's building beautifully, and it's something that the Auckland City Council and the Labour government, David Parker, Jacinda Ardern, they just don't care about that.
Somebody's just giving you big ups on the text machine here, telling us to follow you on Instagram. Good Mahi brother, nice little text. Hey, thanks so much, man. It's been fantastic talking to you. And
thank you so much. Join the kaupapa. It means so much to just get the word out, because we need to make this change happen quickly.
Where are the channels that people should go to?
SaveOurTrees.nz. There is also the Manarako page and the Save Canal Road Trees page on Facebook and Instagram. Follow it up. We do as much mahi as we can to protect these trees. And if you see a tree, a large mature tree that's being cut down that you care about, go and stop that work. Go out there. Have a kōrero to those people, because we don't need to lose these trees in the way that we are at the moment.
Kapai. Hey, thanks so much, Zane. Fantastic, brother.
Kia ora, thank you.
Take it easy.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.